Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back here, Gamer Tag Radio. Welcome, welcome, everyone. Thank you for listening. This is your host, Danny and Pena, founder of GTR. Paris is going to be joining me in a few minutes because we had a daily conversation segment, and we're going to play it here on the podcast. So stay tuned for that. Also, I'm going to be reviewing two Nintendo Switch games. One is Murphy's Law, and also Friday the 13th, the game, the Ultimate Slasher Edition, which came out a couple days ago. I got this a couple weeks ago, and I just wanted to wait until launch because I wanted to test out the multiplayer online, all that. So stay tuned. I talked all about it on the podcast. So so here's a couple updates. So this Friday, I'm heading out to Los Angeles. I'm going to be there for Call of Duty World League Champs for a couple of days, so I'm going to be recording some content there, which is going to be coming out Monday or so. Just stay tuned. Multiple episodes, I think. I'm not sure. It all depends what type of stuff I record over there. Also, Paris is flying to Germany for Gamescom. This is the first time GTR is going to be there covering the event. So he's flying out this weekend, and I believe sometime next week we're going to start posting content from Gamescom. Right now we have no idea what's going to happen, which one we're going to release first. It all depends on Paris, because Paris has some crazy schedule. So just stay tuned. If you're subscribed, you're going to get all the updates, or just follow us on Twitter at Gamertag Radio, or follow me, Godfrey, follow Paris, Vicious 696, to get all the updates. Also Facebook, you already know, we're there too. So all right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Make sure to follow us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Follow us, subscribe. It's totally free if you would like to get updates from the show. Also, call us, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. All right, so one of these days, I would love to do more episodes of Fan Mail. So this is what I would like for you, the listener. If you're listening right now, you haven't sent a question, or you haven't sent a question in a very long time, send it in. We would love to answer your questions. And I want to do a full episode, just strictly fan mail questions. But if we only get a couple, it's not going to be enough. So every listener's out there, trust me, I see the stats. We get a lot of downloads. So if you're listening, I don't care from where, any part of the world, call us. 786-273-7GTR, or an easier way, you could even do this through your phone. Go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. You can send us questions through there, or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com, or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so before I play Daily Conversation, one more time, I'm going to mention, if you guys would like to like support us in any way, you know, we would like to travel to more events, get more equipment. I know a lot of you helped us out for our E3 coverage, helped us out big time, and we attended E3 and we did a great job with that. But if you'd like to see us at future events and future content to help us out with better equipment and everything, you'd like to donate, go to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. All right, so we're going to play the Daily Conversation. After that, the reviews of Murphy's Law and Friday the 13th for the Nintendo Switch coming up here on Gamer Tag Radio. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Gamer Tag Radio.
Hey, Hello.
Hey, Mr. Mr. Lilly. How you doing,
What's
Paris?
What's going on, man?
Nah, here, man. Man, lots of the news is coming up, Paris. Like a lot of news have been coming out now for the past 24, 48 hours already so far. So I know you watched the stream of Destiny. I want to say that for last because there's other bigger news going on right now. And I think we should definitely start about this PlayStation 5 reveal.
Yes.
Which makes sense. Am I right? 2020? February of 2020?
No. Yeah, they're literally following the script from the PlayStation 4 reveal. So this makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Now, the rumor is, of course, we're going to find out everything about the console, games, but Ghost of Tsushima, that's the thing that we were going back and forth the other night. The rumor is that this game is going to get delayed for the release of PlayStation 5. And here's the part where I kind of disagree with your theory on why this is happening. I personally think this game is going to be a launch title game for the PlayStation 5. Because I think if this game comes out for the PlayStation 4, I think a lot of people are going to ignore it and just going to save money for the PlayStation 5. You're saying that it's going to come out for both PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. I think it's just going to go to PlayStation 5.
And I disagree with you. It's going to be on both.
You think it's going to be both?
Come out. Here's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't think they wait until November of 2020 for that game to come out. Now, it could be launching on PlayStation 5 in November. That would make sense to me. But that game's going to be on PlayStation 4. I think a lot of games will be quote unquote cross generational in that first year that will be Sony exclusive. So my thought is, you put it out on PlayStation 4, but then they're gonna show the quote unquote enhanced PS5 version of that same game, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
and it's gonna be a showcase game. I will bet you cash money that The Last of Us 2 will most likely come out spring of 2020. But I will bet you any amount of you want there will be an enhanced version of that in November of 2020. The same with this Ghost game as well, because think about it. You got over 100 million PlayStation 4s out there now, right? You're not abandoning that audience. They can't even make 100 million PlayStation 5s at launch, even if they wanted to. So if anything, if you made it PS5 exclusive, now all of a sudden you're limiting your reach and your audience with it. I agree. It will be a showcase title for PS5, but you will also be able to play it on PlayStation 4. That just makes too much sense to not do that. It's not only for PlayStation, but Xbox games as well. The same as they've already said, Halo Infinite is going to be playable on Xbox One, because at launch, you're going to have more people that have Xbox One than you will that will have Xbox Scarlet. Same goes for PS4 and PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm. And the rumor is, too, that State of the Play is also going to be happening later this year. And it's going to have a couple of things. I think these are the important games right now. So of course, they're going to be coming out for the PlayStation 4. It's Death Stranding, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, The Last of Us Part 2, release yep. date and everything. Mm-hmm. But if this game, Ghost of Tsushima, is coming out for both, I think it would have been mentioned on that State of Play. But it's not scheduled for this event at all. So that's why people are actually thinking, man, this game is probably going to be delayed. And yeah. it's coming off of the PlayStation 5. That's the theory coming out like that, you know?
Yeah, and like I said, I think that makes a lot of sense that it does not come out until PlayStation 5. I could see it launching, again, I think you and I both agree PlayStation 5 is most likely November, right?
Yeah.
No, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So I could see a scenario where it comes out in, let's say, September or October on the PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. And then they basically tell you, hey, that disc that you bought in September for Ghosts, you take that same disc and pop it right on in the PlayStation 5. and now you got the enhanced version of that game. That's what I think. That I think I could see that happening. Or, like you said, they make it a quote unquote launch game in November when PlayStation 5 actually drops.
Hmm. Well, I want everybody to send us your theories, your thoughts about all this. You know, do you agree with us? Do you disagree? Just let us know, because I'm just curious about the whole thing. You know, so
yeah. So to add on to that,
yeah.
What do you think will be the PlayStation 5 launch game? I think I know what it's going to be, but what do you think it's going to be?
Besides Ghost of Tsushima, think The Last of Us Part 2 Enhanced, maybe. I could see that coming out of PlayStation 5. Horizon. The next Horizon game will be, I think, a launch title, right?
That's what I think.
If it's not the day of launch, the time frame, that also could be happening too. So let's say it comes out in November. I could see Horizon early 2021. I could see that too. First quarter.
Yeah, I think it's launch. I think it's day and date, in my opinion, because the timing of it is right. Guerrilla has had plenty of time to make the sequel to it. So by the time we get to 2020, because I think when the Horizon DLC came out, that was 2017. So even if they started right after that, it'll be 3 years at that point to work on Horizon Zero Dawn 2. And they probably had already started working on it even before that.
Yeah.
Guerrilla is known to have games at launch for the PlayStation. So like PlayStation 4, they had Killzone at launch. So it would make a lot of sense that Guerrilla would also have a launch game for PlayStation 5. And you've already cut. Look, God of War is not going to be ready. They would have just come out with The Last of Us already. We know Uncharted isn't coming because, again, Naughty Dog just finished Last of Us 2, so that's not going to be ready. So Horizon is the new flagship title that came out of this generation for PlayStation 4. So you kick off the next generation with Horizon Zero Dawn 2. I think that would be a fantastic choice for them to do that. It would make a lot of sense. Highly anticipated game that people were going to play, and backwards compatible to the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
This makes sense.
I could see that. And I think that they definitely need a huge game for day one. Definitely. Because
Xbox has Halo.
Xbox is going to have Halo. Yeah.
Hey, exactly. I mean, yo, I've been screaming that since 2011. When they said Halo 4 was coming on Xbox 360, I go, why the hell are you doing this? Why is this not coming with the next one? So that was a mistake they made back then. Because I still say to this day, you could have took that same Halo 4 game, put it out at the launch of Xbox One, we might be having a different conversation right now about this whole console war, I'm telling you. Because people would have spent the $500 to play the next Halo with Master Chief at that time.
Agreed.
So them doing this, putting Halo Infinite, launching with Scarlet, makes no-brainer. No-brainer to do it. So they got their flagship title to start the next gen. PlayStation is going to need the same thing too. Even though, look, PlayStation is the leader. They've proven themselves over these past 6 years, you know, with amazing exclusive titles. I expect nothing less once we go into PlayStation 5. So I think they're literally going to just keep doing what they're doing. So they're going to launch, like you said, big game at launch, backwards compatible with some of these other games like Last of Us and the Ghost game. Death Stranding is probably going to have an enhanced version that launches with it. Cyberpunk. Well, Cyberpunk's probably going to do it on all of them, but Cyberpunk's going to have an enhanced version for Scarlet and for PlayStation 5 as well. Just makes sense. I mean, I'm ready. I do think by the time we get to the end of next year, it's time. It's time for these next gen consoles to hit. 4K 60 has to be the standard next year. Has to be. Look, Microsoft's already hinted that that's what they're going to do. I fully expect PlayStation 5 to do the same.
Yeah, you know what? I think that we should definitely go to the next topic, Paris.
Yeah.
So the other day, Nintendo Switch, there's been rumors that the Super NES is coming out for the Nintendo Switch. We've been hearing this for months, but now there is a FCC filing just popped up of the SNES controller that is for the Nintendo Switch, which is similar to the same type of controller that came out for a couple months last year, I believe, for, was it last month or not last year or some months ago came out that you can actually play NES games on Nintendo Switch Online, and they have like a special wireless Nintendo controller. It's going to be similar to that, which that controller is very expensive. It's like, what, $60 for just Nintendo's NES wireless controller for Nintendo Switch. So here is the thing that I just found out today, Paris, while you were streaming Destiny 2 armor stuff a couple minutes ago. So there's a business publication in Japan that learned about this months ago that, yeah, Nintendo is planning to add this to Nintendo Switch Online. But according to them, it says that they're going to combine this to the service with an additional pricing tier for the service just to play NES. Or maybe they're going to add some new stuff there too. Who knows? But so far, just to play Super NES, you have to pay an additional price for that. But to be part of that tier. Your thoughts? What do you think? Do you think this is a...
I don't like it.
You don't like it? Even if it's...
No, I don't like it, but... Yeah, this is classic Nintendo. Of course, this is what they're doing.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised. You know, that controller's pretty much real. It's going to come out. It's going to be at a minimum $60, if not $70. They're going to add on an additional tier to, you know, for Switch Online stuff to play these games. And guess what? We're going to do it. So
yeah,
that's the thing. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
So
yep.
We can sit here and complain about it all we want, but we're going to do it. So Nintendo wins again.
Now,
they have the greatest back catalog in the history of video games.
Of course. Especially Super Nintendo. Come on. Now, my question to you is, how much do you think they should... Let's say there is an additional tier for this, an additional pricing tier for this. What amount do you think they would do it for?
$10 a year.
So $10 extra?
Yeah.
So it'd be $30 a year.
Yeah. So $30 a year. Which,
$30 a year.
Isn't outrageous.
No.
But you're going to do it.
Now, if it's like that for N64 GameCube games, which, again, we might see an additional tier just to play those games too, and which I think what might happen is they might add online on all these games. Also, they could promote Switch Online. You know, the same thing they did with NES.
I would argue they can't get away with that for the Nintendo 64 and the GameCube individually, because I would argue Nintendo didn't have that strong of a lineup during that era. I think once we get to the Wii, when you start throwing Mario Galaxy in, Twilight Princess, all that stuff, I think they could probably get away with it again.
But yeah,
I think almost they would have to take N64 and GameCube and combine them to get away with that. Like honestly, I'm thinking about N64 and GameCube. The only ones that truly interest me, like from the N64, is Mario 64, obviously. I think about Mario Sunshine on GameCube. Was it Link, the Zelda game that was on GameCube? I'm blanking on the name, but you know what I'm talking about. What else? I mean, for real. Like when I think Nintendo 64, there's just not much. I mean, maybe Donkey Kong 64, maybe, but I'm not like super hyped. I guess Banjo, obviously, but they don't really own Banjo anymore. That's Microsoft. I guess, you know, Perfect Dark. I mean, I don't know. Like the games that I think about during the N64 era that I would care about, Microsoft has them now. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just curious to see what they're planning to do. I think if this is official, then maybe during the next Nintendo Direct, they're going to announce it and say it's available right now because it's in the system. It's been in the system for months, ever since an early update that came out this year. I don't know. I'm kind of, you're right, Paris. Like, yeah, I'm kind of disappointed that the rumor is that this is going to have an additional pricing tier, but dude, I know I'm going to be the first one saying, okay, I'm going to play it. Cause the thing is, I love the Super NES more than the NES in my opinion. Like,
yes, that's what I'm saying.
That system has so many classics, man. So
Think
many games
it.
that
Super Mario World.
Yeah.
Yoshi's Island. Link to the Past. I mean, just for Link to the Past. Here, okay, you got me. I mean,
yeah, yeah, just with that. Yep.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So there's a ton of Super Nintendo games that I'm down for. That I'm like, yep, I'll do it. I would pay it.
Yep.
And again, it's an extra fee, but again, if I say, like I said, if it's just $10 extra a year, $30 a year, that's not crazy.
It's not crazy. You know? It's just disappointing because I feel like, damn, this shit is just added. Or now, if they do this, which is possible, all right, it's going to be free from now to the end of the year. If you want to continue playing this, you pay an additional early next year. The same thing what they did with the launch of Nintendo Switch Online, right? That's possible too.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah,
definitely.
Just because I think they don't want to have like the audience like flip out and oh man, I gotta pay for this.
Yeah.
So I think having it for free until early next year, that makes sense. It calms the people. It calms people down. Have some games for launch, right? For the launch of this service, and then next year. Oh, by the way, we're gonna have these games available.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes sense.
I would be down with that.
Yeah.
As I'm talking to you, I'm grabbing my suitcase because I'm going to start packing for Germany for Gamescom.
Yo, Paris, every day it gets crazy and crazier. Like,
I know.
I mean, I don't want to say much, but I know the schedule is looking crazy and it changes daily, which is insane.
I got an email last night for something that is before Gamescom. It ain't even Gamescom yet. It just happens I'm there. So I got invited to. I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, it's getting crazy, dude.
Yeah.
It's getting crazy.
It is getting crazy. And I'm flying out this Friday. I'm flying out to LA for Call of Duty World League, the finals, the champs basically. So I'm gonna be there with a lot of content creators, a lot of journalists. It's gonna be fun. Yeah. I'm always attending that every year, and it's a lot of fun checking out like the finals. The crowd goes crazy and the arena is just super crazy and exciting to just watch it live, man. So I can't wait. Last year was in Ohio. The year before that was in Orlando. And I think before that was Los Angeles. We were there. It was cool. It was cool watching that live. Very, very cool. So, Paris, very quick, your thoughts about Bungie's last stream that just happened like a couple minutes ago. Your thoughts about it.
I loved it because like I was kind of saying during the stream.
Yeah.
And again, it's not perfect day one. I can see this is the building block to first step to build it even more towards the RPG stuff. But what they're doing with the Armor 2.0 is now your gear is going to roll with certain stats on it, you know, for intellect, discipline, mobility, you know, all that stuff. You can masterwork that stuff up if you so choose. But now the other kind of perks like heavy ammo finder or stability perks, things like that, those are all, you know, increase your super, grenade throw, all these kind of mods they're becoming mods now is what I'm trying to say. So now they're mods that you have to get from the gunsmith and other places, you know, as you play the game. And there's an energy bar that's attached to it. Now it went up to like 10 where, you know, you can have one that's specific for void, arc, kinetic, all that stuff, where certain mods, like I could have one mod that might cost me 5 energy or another one that costs me 1 energy or 2. So you're now going to be able to kind of slot these things into your armor build and make specific builds and specific loadouts depending on the type of weapons that you're running. Like maybe I want to put in mods that's going to help me because I have a rocket launcher. Or maybe I want to put in ones that helps me because, you know, I'm running a fusion rifle, a sniper, or a combination of both. Or I'm running a specific build where I'm in support class where I want my super to kind of regenerate a lot because I'm doing Ward of Dawn, or, you know, I'm running a Warlock and I'm doing the Well of Radiance, things like that. So the point I'm making is now you play the game like you normally do. You're going to get gear to drop. You're going to get to max power level. Now when you get to max power level, this opens up, honestly, a whole nother meta to the game where now I'm chasing tier 12 builds, specific builds. Like I know I'm going to go do this raid, or I know I'm going to PvP, or I know I'm doing Gambit and now it's Arc and I need to run this Arc build with rocket launcher, things like that. It's going to be so much tweaking that you can do in the game now once you hit max power level. And normally throughout the years, we run out of things to do. Now you're going to be chasing mods. You obviously got to chase the materials to get them. There's going to be, it's going to be a lot. It's definitely going to be a lot just in that, you know? And then, and again, and you're not even going to be forced to do that. No one's forcing you to do it. Do it if you want, because you're looking for the perfect build on things like that. So it was good to see. I was very excited to see it because, like I said, I just saw the potential of where this is going now. And it's pretty exciting. Not to mention now the fashion show opens up because now you're getting the armor ornaments, and that opens up the fashion show to it. So it doesn't matter what gear drops. If it has the perfect specs that you want, but you don't like the way it looks, now you can throw these armor ornaments on and change the way you look. You look however you want. Only thing with that is, I'm telling you right now, a lot of that stuff is going to be weighted heavily towards Eververse because they're going to try and get you to spend more money for those armor ornaments, which is fine because, I mean, like Luke Smith stated, that helps them fund other things in the game, and you're not being forced to do it. You do it because you want to do it. So I'm good with it. Yeah. I'm definitely good with it. I'm excited to see.
Yeah, and one thing I noticed too, because I was watching the stream a little bit, they seem very relaxed. Very. You could tell it was very like, it just happened at the moment. Just like us having this conversation, it's just like, it's not planned at all. We just talk about it like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Think about it. And I even had tweeted Deej like right before you called me, and I had even said that, hey, I was like, hey, I really loved the stream because you guys were very relaxed. It was casual. And the sandbox designer, I believe her name is Lisa Brown. Her name, yo, she was there in her pajamas, in her socks, with her feet propped up on the table.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
It was unscripted. Yeah, because it felt real. It didn't feel Hollywood and scripted. It was like, exactly. Yo, this is something you want to show?
Exactly.
Come check it out. Mm-hmm. And they were good. Yo, they were dying when they were doing the strike. It wasn't, you know what I'm saying? It was just, they're just playing the game.
Like, you know what I think it is too? You know what I think it is, Paris? It feels like we're when we're having the conversation and the listener check out the podcast and they listen to us for the first time or even for a long time, they feel like they're part of the conversation, right? So imagine you watching this stream of Bungie. You feel like you're also part of the conversation. You feel like you're in it because it's like very casual. It's very laid back. It's chill. And it was like whatever conversation pops up, it just pops up. It just happened there at the moment. I think that's cool. I wish that more companies do that instead of the scripted robotic PR stuff that we always see, you know? So
like I give you a good example. So when I went to the Call of Duty multiplayer event, I don't even know if that's on us. I guess that was streamed. So I guess everyone was able to watch when I was there. But when I went to that, you know, it felt very Hollywood, glamour and glitz, and all the producers are coming out in their designer shoes and jeans and all that. And yeah, man, we're talking about, you know what I'm saying? It was just like, I've been watching the same shit for the past 10 years. I go, I don't need this. Just tell me about the game. Yeah, that's all I care about. I don't care about you putting on a show. You don't need to put on a spectacle for me. Just have a real conversation with me about the game. That's what I like.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need all that other stuff. So it was good to see that, you know, and I hope more developers take that approach. You know, I'm not saying that Bungie started it or anything. They're not the first ones to do that approach. They won't, hopefully they won't be the last either, but that's the way to do it. We don't need scripted stuff. Just show me the game. Show me the game as if you genuinely play and love the game and you're talking about it. That's all I care about.
Yeah. So, well, Paris, I got to wrap it up because I have like a lot of people downstairs and.
Hey, you called me. Okay.
I got to go. Hey, man, you're getting ready for your trip, man. You're getting ready for the trip. I got to get ready for my trip. You know, yours is going to be longer, of course, but it's going to be exciting. And everybody stay tuned. We're planning to have content next week. We just don't know how we're going to like release it. We don't have no idea. We just. Writing it, we're just going with the flow. So just be prepared for the content that's coming out next week. You know, because I'm gonna be releasing stuff from Los Angeles. Paris is gonna be releasing stuff from all the way from Germany for the first time at Gamescom. It's exciting times to be a listener, man, of GTR. So, anything else, Paris?
No, I think that's it. Glad you gave me a call. It's been a good week for GTR.
Let's
put it that way. So we'll be talking about it more stuff soon.
Definitely. All right, man. Until next time. We're up.
All right. Yeah.
This is Gamertag Radio. voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're going to be talking about Friday the 13th, the game that just came out for the Nintendo Switch. I've been having this game now for a couple weeks, and I just didn't really want to review the game until it launches because every time I will go online, nobody was on. Nobody was on. I found like one person, I think it was a YouTuber that was on, and we were there waiting for other people, and nobody else showed up, so we both left. But now that the game just came out officially to the world, now you could buy it. You go to the eShop and it's available there. Now I see a lot of activity, a lot of people playing online. So I'm going to be talking about overall about the game. This game is called Friday the 13th, the game, the Ultimate Slasher Edition, which includes a lot of cool stuff that wasn't available for the original game that came out for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox and PC. Believe like 2 years ago or so. So this has all DLC and retail exclusive content, which includes 10 player challenges, new maps, characters, outfits, of course, Jason skins, additional kills for Jason, and a lot more. So this is an eight person multiplayer, and also has single player modes. That's what I was doing when I couldn't find people online. I will play this just single player offline, and I will play as like Jason and so on. So it's 7 versus 1 in this game. There's different ways to kill the counselor. So you're going to be playing as Jason, or if not the counselor. So basically, let's say you're a counselor, you have to figure out a way to escape the camp because Jason is out there trying to kill everybody. So if Jason, let's say the person that's controlling Jason, kills everybody in the camp, that's it, game over. Jason wins. If, let's say, Jason doesn't kill everybody and a couple people left and escaped, then that means the counselor, whoever escaped, wins the game. You get XP with that. It will help you to unlock different stuff and all that. So now I know this game is fully online multiplayer, of course. So yes, there is voice chat in the game. So you just got to connect the microphone to your Nintendo Switch device. You don't need the Nintendo Switch Online app in order for you to talk with other people. Because there needs to be a lot of communication in this game, especially if you're playing with other counselors, other players online. In order for you to escape or just warn somebody where Jason is located at and so on, you need to work together. A lot of people are going to be saying, hey, this looks good as the other versions. And I'll say is, you could tell the difference graphically. You know, this one, of course, is not 4K or HD compared to the other versions. But this is really good for a Nintendo Switch version. I'm enjoying it. I truly believe that this game, when it launched, had a better launch than their previous one. Because I remember when I first got this game, because I even put money down on through Kickstarter to get this game. And when the game officially launched, online wasn't working at all. Like I got super frustrated. I just didn't want to care about the game. And then after a couple weeks, the developers updated the game and then it worked fine. This one, from the start, I put it in, went online, everything was working fine. And I've been having a blast. I know a couple of our listeners been hitting me up asking me, Danny, is it worth getting Friday the 13th, the game for the Switch or what? You know what? Yeah, go for it. I think this is a great game. Even if you never played the PlayStation 4 and Xbox or PC version, take advantage and buy the Switch version. It's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it for those that are into this, you know, Friday the 13th type of vibe, horror games and all that. It's a lot of fun. Lots of fun. So yeah, so the game is out. And then whoever has, you know, Nintendo Switch, let me know. I would love to get together with a couple of our listeners here and just start playing it, man. And it's available right now. Friday the 13th, the game, the Ultimate Slasher Edition for Nintendo Switch.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so another game that I've been playing nonstop on my Nintendo Switch, which came out a while ago, and they just the developers just released an update, a free update for anybody that has this, and also a demo. It's called Morphe's Law Remorphed. You could download it right now on the Switch or also PC. So for those who know, this is a multiplayer game, online multiplayer, which is a 3v3. With this update, they basically added some enhanced features, a lot easier to find games, more body parts for your robots, and so on. So one of the things that I like about this is every day there's a daily mission. So if you play online, you will like there will be like different missions for you to do. So let's say like get 5 wins in a day or something like that, or do certain things within the multiplayer. And then you it will add to your weekly progress. And based on your weekly progress, it will help you to unlock more items. Plus, if you get experience points, let's say if you win in a match, you could also start buying body parts, emotes, music instruments for your character. And you could even upgrade your weapons. There's 77 customizations that you could do on your own for your character every time you change up your weapons and stuff. So it's a lot of fun. Size matter in this game because, look, sometimes you might be small, you might be big, your character might be big, right? So let's say your character is big. If somebody's shooting at you, I think health-wise is going to help you out a lot. If your character is a lot smaller, then, and somebody's shooting at you, you're going to, like, your health is going to decrease way faster, and the chances of you dying faster is a lot. So they're also... During matches, let's say a death match, you're wondering how would I know if my team is winning? So if you looked up to the sky, there's 2 avatars. There's the blue avatar and the red avatar. Whoever is the tallest, that means that team, that color of the avatar is the one that's winning. So here are the key features from the update. The Morphe's have 8 body parts that grow, shrink individually, and each body part has a different effect on your actions. Sometimes if your character is too big and there's like different locations, like let's say a hole that you would like to go in, but you can't because you're too big, that's also a disadvantage. But if your character, again, is short, you could go through there. But remember, if somebody shoots at you, your health is going to decrease way, way faster. Also, you could customize your Morphe, whatever you want. The more you play, the more you could take advantage and upgrade your character and change it up if you want. Like, let's say my character, I like to change like the antenna, pick some cool music instruments. So when you're waiting online for other players to join in during matchmaking, you see every character like playing like an instrument and stuff. So yeah, it has like this Mexican theme, which is awesome. I like it. It's really, really cool. Good music. You love the design, and it's different. You know, sometimes I like to just pick up my Nintendo Switch, just go play like 1 or 2 matches a day, you know, something, you know, quick. I try my best to see if I can get some points from like the daily missions and so on. So the game is a lot of fun. Highly recommend it. If you haven't tried it out, there is a demo that you could right now download it. Check it out to see if you like it or not. And the good thing too, if you have the Nintendo Switch version, you could also play with PC players crossplay, which is awesome. All right, and that's it. Morphe's Law Remorphed is out right now. Download it. And if you have the game, download the free update. It's a lot of fun. I've been having a blast with this. And again, like I said in the previous review, if you have this game or you're planning to get this game, hit me up and we'll play definitely online. This is definitely a lot of fun.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so that's it. We're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening. Remember, next week, you're going to have a lot of content, lots of content from not only Call of Duty World League champs, but also Gamescom all the way in Germany. This is going to be our first time attending that event. So stay tuned. We're going to have a lot of cool stuff, a couple surprises. I'm not going to say what? Because I just wanted like to surprise you guys. So if you enjoy our E3 coverage, I think you're going to enjoy what we have planned during Gamescom. Shout out to Paris because he has a lot of cool stuff, man, lined up for the show. All right. So remember, visit us, gamertagradio.com. Follow us, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere. And subscribe. We're out. Until next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.